Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Saxon. I'm so grateful to be with you again for another 15 minutes of encounterment for Favor Life, the process of there where we walk by faith and not by sight to the destiny, call, and purpose of God. It is an awesome time for us in the body of Christ, an awesome time for us to be used by the Lord, prepared for where He's taking us and what He's doing in our life, that we might be instruments of righteousness for someone else to see, know, and understand the greatness of our God, the love of our God, the saving power and authority of our God, and the deliverance and healing of our God through His word, through His truth, through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm so honored to come to you today, and it's amazing because we get a chance to understand how God can use unlikely people and use them for His glory, and He gets all the praise, all the honor, and we are His righteousness, His example in the earth for someone else to see. We've been studying unlikely places of blessings where God uses places that we don't even understand how He can even bless us, how He can even shape us, make us, make a way for us. In these unlikely places, God does something miraculous. And He does it in a way that not only is the individual who He's going to use going to be blessed, but his family and the nation or the people connected to him are also blessed. So we see this and we understand that God can choose anybody He wants to, anytime He wants to be a blessing and to put them in a place to be blessed, even if it looks unlikely to them, even if it looks like they can't get out of it, even if it looks like it's almost impossible. God uses that place to shape you, make you, promote you, bless you, establish you, and He does it for His glory so that many lives can be saved. We're going back again, and we're going to look at the book of 1 Samuel, looking at David and how he was chosen by God, and he was put in an unlikely place, chosen by God, and put in an unlikely place to be king, but God does it according to His will and His word, and he becomes that. But the process of him becoming that king is what makes and shapes him and builds him and causes him to be the king and the man and the people are still talking about, that Jesus' lineage is coming through. And so it's amazing how God can choose someone who doesn't even understand fully how he's going to be used or where God is going to take them, and how God is going to open up doors. And as he does this, as we obey him, as we do it with a heart, and we do it with a mind of faith and love towards God, we see him perform great things. As long as we keep our heart pure, and as long as we keep our heart in a place where it is open to God, and that it is a place where God, we're always tender to God, God can use you anytime he wants, and he can use you greatly. But it's up to you to stay tender. It's up to you to stay open and teachable. It's up to you to begin to walk in faith and obedience to the will of God. And as you do, God can use you and do anything in your life that he wills and that he wants. And he does it because you yield it to him. So stay tender. As we go back and look briefly, we're going on today, hitting the 20th through the 22nd chapter, hopefully today. If not, we'll get to it tomorrow. But just to recap, we see that Saul resents David, and he recognizes David as a mighty warrior. He sees him as a valuable team player. He sees him as an obedient servant, a favorable man, as an effective leader. Saul saw David as his potential successor and a threat. He also did not want to hear himself being compared to David at all. He didn't want himself to be even in the same sentence with David. And this is an example when the Israelite women begin to sing celebration song, and they compare David and Saul, and they say that Saul has slain his 1,000 and David has his 10,000. Saul becomes very angry, and he says, "What next? What is there left except for my kingdom, my throne?" And so he becomes very angry, and he doesn't want to be compared to David. He wants his own notoriety, and remember, Saul always went for the praise of the people. So this is where he's at. Saul, his insecurity and fear drove him to turn against David. insecurities can drive a leader to do unexpected, unpredictable, stupid, silly things that lead to self-sabotage. So you have to really, really allow God to dig around you and dig in you when it comes to being insecure, when it comes to you dealing with issues of your past, of insecurity. You have to really allow God to really heal you and deliver you from those things, because if you do not, it will cause you to self-sabotage yourself. It will cause you to become jealous and angry. It will cause you to become suspicious of people. It will cause you to start walking in a path that is not the path that God has chosen for you. So you really have to allow him to deal with those issues, and even tell God, ask the Holy Spirit, show me the places in my life that I need you to deal with me. Show me the areas of my life that I need you to heal me and make me over. Don't allow me to be undone. Don't allow me to be unhealed in these areas, because I want to be pleasing and I don't want to sabotage myself, and I don't want the enemy to come and begin to move against me in this area and cause me to fail in an area or in a place or time when you have me at the point where people are really watching me. So you want God to dig around you. You want him to heal you. You want him to really deliver you from anything and everything that will try to stop your purpose, your destiny, your call. Okay? So we really want God to do that. The thing that Saul began to do against David because of his own insecurities was that he looked at David and all of his activities very suspiciously. He threw a spear at David to try to kill him. He feared David because God's spear was on him. He changed David's position so that he would have to see him, and that's amazing. When people really don't want to see you, when they don't want to be around you, they'll do everything to get away from you. So this is what he did. Saul also hated being, like I said, compared to David. He put David in charge of 1,000 troops and would send him against a large group of Philistines who outnumbered him. But every time he did, the hand of God would give David victory. So God wouldn't even allow the Philistines to defeat David. Saul gave his daughter to David and hoped that she would be a snare, distraction to him in battle, that he would be so in love with her and so thrilled to be part of his kingdom and his family that would be a snare to him and he would be killed in battle. He also plotted secretly to deceive David. He did all kinds of scheming and things, plots to keep David out of certain things, and it didn't work. He also saw himself as David's enemy. Now, Saul spoke to Jonathan about David, but he also spoke to his servant about David, and he told them that he wanted David killed. He speaks to them all and lets them know, these are my plans, this is what I want to be done, I'm the king, and this is what I want. Now, even though everyone is subject to the king, they do not agree with him. But because they are subject to him, because he's the one in authority, placed in authority, they have to do what he says, even if they don't like it. They still have to do what he says. Now, Jonathan informs David of the things that his father said and things that his father shared and things that he's going to do. And Jonathan spoke well of David, always, to his father. He always spoke well of David. And he knew that his father, even though he knew his father's heart concerning David, he still spoke well of David. He still wanted his father to change his mind about David. He wanted to try to convince his father that you're wrong, and I don't know what's going on with you, but you're wrong about your decision. He said to his father, his works have been very good towards you, for he has taken his life. David basically took his life, put it in danger for the king. He's taken his life in his hands and killed the Philistines, and the Lord brought against a great deliverance for all of Israel. This is what Jonathan is telling his father. And you witnessed this. You watched this. You saw this. And you rejoiced along with all the rest of us about this. So, you know, he said, so why would you now sin against innocent blood to kill David without cause? He's questioning his father because he's trying to let him see you're making a mistake. You're doing something wrong. It was God that was with David when he went against the Philistines, and it was God that brought the deliverance. It was God that let David win. It was God that brought him through this. And it was a victory not only for David, but for all of Israel. And what you have to understand is when God has spoken concerning your life, he will protect you and he will make sure that you come out on top. He will make sure that even in a fierce, something fierce in your life, because of the call on your life, because of what he has planned for you, because of the purpose that he has for you, you will come through it. And you're going to come through it always with other people understanding and knowing that it is the Lord. God will put you in different situations, and they will know it is the Lord who's on your side. It is the Lord who's with you. It is the Lord who's fighting the battle. It is the Lord who's giving you favor. And so they will see this and know this and understand that it is God. But your enemies will never understand that. And they will always think within themselves that they are greater than God and they can do more to you and they can get you and God is not going to touch them. But the word lets us know that we're not to touch God's anointed. We're not. They're not supposed to touch us and we're not supposed to touch them. We're supposed to pray for one another. Even when we see each other wrong, we're supposed to pray for one another and pray that God will begin to give us an eye to see what we're doing and a heart to want to change and walking its way. So that's what Jonathan does with his father. Saul hears this voice of Jonathan, and he begins to say, I'm not going to kill him. And he does this for a while because he hears the words of his son. And I think this is the point where Saul doesn't want his son to see him wrong. He doesn't want his son to see him in a place that is not honorable as the king. But because of what was in Saul's heart and what was in his mind, he eventually is going to show his own son who he really is. So Saul hears the words of Jonathan's voice. He basically, for a short while, he swore that he wouldn't kill David. And Jonathan tells David these words. And David is brought back again in the presence of Saul. He's brought back again in the presence of his favor. And David begins to do what he was doing before. David went out and he started fighting the Philistines, and he won again in war because war struck up again, so he wins again. And he gives a mighty blow to the Philistines, so much that they begin to run away from him. And so a tormenting spirit, the same tormenting spirit, comes back to Saul again. And as David is playing, trying to soothe him, as he's playing with his hand instrument, as he's playing Saul again, this tormenting spirit, it begins to allow the insecurities of what's inside of him to arise to the point that he cannot control himself. And what he does is he seeks to pin David to the wall. He throws another spear at him, but David slips away. And Saul sent messengers to his house. They sent messengers to his house to watch his house, to look for him, and to kill him. And to kill him in the morning. That's what he wanted, to kill him in the morning. So his wife, David's wife, Saul's daughter, basically tells him, if you stay here tonight, you're going to die. If you stay here tonight and you wait until the morning, you're going to die. So I need you to go ahead and slip away. Slip down the window and go and hide yourself. And I'm going to put an idol's head covered with goat's hair in the bed, so when they come looking for you, they're not going to find you. And that's what they did. The messengers came in. She told them David was sick. They go back and tell Saul. Saul sends him back again, and he says, bring him to me even in his sick bed. So Saul was determined to kill him even if he was sick. If he was in the bed, he was going to kill him in that bed. And when they go in and discover that he's not there and tell Saul, Saul speaks to his daughter, and she says, you know, she lies to her father. And she basically said, he said to me, why should I kill you? Let me go. But David never said that. So she knew that by betraying her father, she herself was going to be subject to his wrath or his anger. And we can see that there is a fierce anger or fierce wrath in Saul because of the actions that he begins to pursue David with and how fiercely he begins to pursue him and the things that he's done and is doing to him. So you don't have to worry about your enemies. You've got to know that God's got you. He's going to let you escape. He's going to let you get away. He's going to let you win because he cannot let you fall under the hand of your enemy. It would show that God is not able to save you even from your enemy. That's all the time we have for today. I'm Pastor Cheryl Thacks, and I'm praying that you're getting this and that it's encouraging to you and empowering to you even in your stand of being prepared for leadership. We'll be back again tomorrow for another 15-minute empowerment. God bless you.